But this morning, when we look at tension, we need to draw a line in the sand, if you will, and realize that we're in a spiritual battle daily. And that spiritual battle is against light and dark. Light and dark. And when we read in Isaiah chapter 9 this morning, it talks about people dwelling in darkness, people dwelling in deep darkness. And that image gives us a perspective of understanding of where we are or where we once were when we are outside of faith in Jesus Christ. That darkness overwhelms us. Darkness controls us. Darkness shadows the light to such a degree that we don't see it and we don't want to be a part of it. And as a result, we let that sin condition overwhelm us, that sin condition control us. And we pursue things of darkness rather than things of light. But yet, even in that passage, there's hope given. And so this morning, I want us to glean not only from that Isaiah 9 passage, but also from John chapter 1. Because John chapter 1 outlines for us, and we're going to look only at verses 4 and 5 this morning, outlines for us that because of the light, namely the Word, namely Jesus Christ, we have life, we have light, or hope, we have life, hope, and power. Life, hope, and power. And so I just gave you all the fill-ins, so you can go home now. But the first is life. And we need to understand that in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone, He's the beacon of life. Now, I'm using the term beacon this morning primarily because a beacon draws attention to oneself. Peter is building a plowing business for this winter, and you know, he would like to be up in Bethlehem area right now because they get 20 inches of snow up there and he'd be plowing. But he wouldn't want to be there because he doesn't have his beacon on his truck yet. And he wants to be sure that when he's out plowing, people see him. People pay attention. Not just that he arrived at the place he's plowing, but for everyone else who's coming and going in a snowstorm, be able to see that there's a plow truck in front of them, see that there's a plow truck pulling out of a driveway, to be able to see, to understand that there's a safety issue before them that they need to pay attention to. Well, I use this beacon perspective, not just because of the idea of what he's doing for plowing, but for us to draw attention to the text this morning, for us to be drawn in to pay attention to what God is revealing to us through His Son, so that it would light up our lives and light us up in such a way that we'd be excited about what God has done and continues to do in our relationship with Him. And so this morning, the beacon of life, it says in verse 4, in Him was life, real life. Not false life, not a life that we think of, but it was real life in Him. You listen to what He says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. He has poured Himself into the creation in which we look at daily. He created it. Nothing was made without Him, because in Him was life. Big red light should go off right now. A big perspective to understand that in Jesus Christ, life is found. Not only that He is the creator and sustainer of the world in which we live, but if we were to understand the true meaning that what He's trying to talk about here concerning who Christ is in our lives, that He is life. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. That He is the one that we focus upon. He is the one. He's the beacon of life. Look at John 5:26. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. 6:57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. 11:25. Sorry, I'm going too fast. Tell me so. If I'm not going fast enough, tell me that too. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. In 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so John is setting us up for to understand that there's a beacon that's drawing attention to the fact that Jesus Christ is life. He's the beacon of life. He's the one who's drawing our attention to realize that he is the one who's not only the author of life, but he is the author of true life. True life. Now, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. You see, it's in Jesus Christ that we really understand what real living is all about. Apart from him, we really don't have life, do we? We think we do. But until we come to that place where Jesus is Lord of our lives, where we invite him into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, we're really dead to God. We're separated from God. He's the light. Life was the light of men. He is the one who illumines our lives so that we could have hope, the hope of eternal life. So he's not only the beacon of life, but he's the beacon of hope. Beacon of hope. You know, as a child, my grandmother had a cottage on Cape Cod in East Ham. And as the years went on, spending most of our summers there, we became very familiar with Coast Guard Beach and Nauset Light. Then there came a time where we didn't go to the Cape anymore because of family issues. And then we started going again. And all of a sudden, it was like our whole world was changed because Nauset Light was about to be consumed by the ocean. There was a time where you could travel from here to the end of our property and then meet the ocean. But when we returned, we found that there was a fund being raised to move Nauset Light because in the blizzard of 78, it took all of Coast Guard Beach. It took all of that property to the point where the building foundation was here and then the ocean was here. A big cliff of debris and land was washed away in the blizzard of 78. And so this beacon of hope, of recognizing that there was land coming, because that's what its purpose was, is to show forth that there was a point that they could now navigate around the Cape of Cod, and so that they would be safe, was now in jeopardy. You and I live in that battle constantly, daily. Unless we're shining Jesus to this world, unless we're displaying him to those around us, there are people who are going to a Christless eternity without hope. But Jesus is the one who is not only giving of life, in him was life, but that life was the light of men. That life, his person, his work, illuminates us in such a way that we have hope. True light, as verse 9 says. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The opportunity for us to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ was coming into the world and was being displayed as the true light, as the only light. In chapter 3 and verse 19, John continues, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what was done has been done through God." True light has come into the world. In chapter 8 and verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There's hope. There's hope. You know, how many times have you found yourself, especially those who sit over on this side, because the light seems to pour in constantly, okay? Have you ever taken the time to just gaze through? Well, you really can't see it today, but there are some days where you can just go like this and you can see all the dust in the world. You know? And it's like you dusted the pews and it seems to be like showering right through the window. I thought this kept stuff out, but there's this just, tune. We're breathing that in? Man. You know, we're constantly in that battle, aren't we? The light reveals the truth of the lives in which we live. And sometimes we come away with that and say, "Oh, Lord, how can I cope with this? How can I deal with this? What is going on in my life?" And I get overwhelmed. But yet, It's the light that helps us to have hope. He's not only the beacon of life, he's the beacon of hope. Jesus Christ gives us hope in life's struggles, gives us perspective so that we can trust him, gives us understanding so that we might grow in him. Because he is the true light, he reveals the truth in our hearts, convicts us so that we might be like him. How many of us have been felt guilty before? What happens when you feel guilty? When you feel guilty, you feel ashamed. Sometimes you feel guilty because you get caught. Sometimes you don't understand why you're feeling guilty. But more often than not, the light has caused that guilt so that we might examine ourselves before that light and find the purity and hope that it reveals to us. Jesus is that purity and hope. Jesus is that one who is not only the beacon of life, but the beacon of hope. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. He's given us that light, that hope, that enduring presence in our lives. The light, the beacon of life, the beacon of hope. Thirdly, the beacon of power. In verse 5 of John chapter 1, it says, "If the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." The light shines in the darkness. You've probably heard me tell this story before, but I'll tell it again. I love telling stories over and over again. Keeps me young, keeps me on, so I don't forget things too, you know. Even though I've probably told this story like 75,000 times. In 1987, just after graduating from seminary, Becky and I decided we were going to venture out. Just before we were going to plan to have children, because she got her PhD. You know what a PhD is? Putting husband through. She worked during those years of school, and we decided we had saved up some money because we were going to venture out and go on a cross-country trip. And one of the things that I wanted to do is, as an infant, I celebrated my first birthday at Fort Knox, Kentucky. Dad was stationed there, and I went to see a host of things like the Mammoth Caves and Lincoln's birthplace and all that stuff. And we got postcards of all those things and pictures, but I'm in a stroller. So it was like I wanted to relive those experiences. So when we took this cross-country trip, we went to these places, and we went to the Mammoth Caves. And we're down in the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky, and they said, they tell a story about someone who got lost. And this was before there was electricity in the caves. There's electricity in the caves now, but to prove the point, they shut the lights off. Now, at that time, we were living on the North Shore, and we could shut the lights off in our home, and we could walk around the home without a problem because there were street lights, there were neighbors' lights, there were all kinds of... Same thing happens here. I mean, maybe not in your area where in New Hampshire, but here, where we live just over the hill here, we can walk around our home, and the home is fully illuminated because of the garage across the street. So we can always see, but when they shut the lights off in this cavern, in this cave, they said just before they shut the lights off, "Please hold the hand of your loved one." I was, oh my goodness. Now newlyweds would say, "All right," you know, that type of thing. But we're in that place where I'm holding her hand and they shut the lights off and they said, "Now wave your hand in front of your spouse's face." And I said, "Hon, are you doing it?" She said, "Yeah. I've been doing it for the last 5 minutes." We couldn't see a thing. That darkness washed over me, and I realized that's my condition without Jesus Christ. That's my condition without Him. That's the world's condition without Him. And yet, it just took one little flashlight to illuminate that whole cavernous room. One little flashlight. Now, in our text this morning in verse 5, it's the beacon of power because the light shines in the darkness. And I do not like the way the NIV translates the last part of the verse. But the darkness does not understand it or has not understood it. What it should say, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Jesus shines as a light in the darkness, and darkness can do nothing about it. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that hope that is ours, because He's the beacon of hope, that life that is ours, because He's the beacon of life, is also a powerful presence of Christ in our lives, because He shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Not that it doesn't understand. Darkness clearly understands who Jesus is. Remember, throughout the Gospels, when Jesus encounters a demon, they know who He is and they shudder. They recognize who He is before we do. But yet, they cannot have power. Satan has no power over the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And therefore, He is not only the beacon of life and hope, He's the beacon of power, and that power is at your disposal and mine, because where is Jesus? Jesus is dwelling here through the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father doing what? Playing cribbage? No way. He's seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and for me. When? 24/7, 365 and a quarter for eternity. For your sake and for mine. Can you imagine that? Darkness has no power. And so when we go into the highways and byways of life, when we're confronted with the darkness of this world, when we're confronted with hearts that are hardened, remember the ministry of John. John goes forth and proclaims the truth about the light that has come into the world, and he continues to do it until he loses his head over it. You and I have been called to be light in the darkness. In Matthew chapter 4, it tells us that we are the light of the world, that we are to shine forth the love of Christ into this world. And more often than not, people will see Jesus in us when we're not even paying attention, because the light is powerful. And so this morning, what will you be? You see, this first day of Advent, as the children have recalled in our hearts and lives, that this symbolizes the hope of life, the hope of the light of the world come into this world. You know, I've been contemplating the fact that Jesus never asked us to celebrate His birth, only His death. And I thought about that. How can I now redeem Christmas in a way that brings honor and glory to Him? And the thought that's come to my heart and that I firmly believe in is that I need not put up Christmas lights. I need to live the light of Christ to my community, to my family, to my friends, to show forth the beacon that is in my heart, the beacon of Jesus living in me, the beacon and the hope that He's given me life, and a powerful life. You know, remember in John, I believe it's in chapter 10, that He's coming to give us life, comma, and abundantly. That it's not just life to live, it's an abundant life. A life that's powerful, a life that's tremendous, a life that's significant, a life that is filled with hope and joy because of His sacrifice. And His taking away sin's condition from our hearts and lives, we have life and life eternal. Let us pray. God, help us shine. Help us shine for you. Help us illuminate the world in which we live, that we would display the light, Jesus, the Word become flesh, who dwelt among us, the one whose glory we have seen, the glory of the Father. Help us to shine in such a way that the world would know the author of life. And that in the midst of the darkness in which we live, Lord, that there would be hope. And that hope would be found firmly, not in some spirituality, but firmly in the person and work of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. May we live powerful lives, Lord, because of your presence. May we live hope-filled lives for your glory and for your sake. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.